Perfect. All right. Well, then we will call our August 5th meeting to order. We got the packet, I think it was yesterday or Friday. Thank you, Twee. And the first item for a vote is approving the minutes from our July 15th meeting. I move to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
I I'll second.
Right. Thank you. Any friendly amendments, questions, comments? Twee, thank you for doing such a good job of capturing everything. I thought it was very thorough. All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, John.
All right, minutes are approved. The next item is the loan portfolio. We have seven loans at around $3.2 million. I move to approve the loan portfolio. Is there a second?
A second.
Thank you, Josh. Rich, you want to walk us through the seven loans that we are reviewing?
You know, today, I think it's going to be a short walk, Sarah.
Because, okay.
You know, these are all pretty bread and butter, as we like to say. Mm-hmm. We have several roadwork projects, a bucket truck, a stormwater project, and financing the Village of Summit's capital improvement plan. And most of that is also road work. Does anybody have any questions?
No, not on my end.
That's all I have for loans today.
All right. Any other questions from the commissioners? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the loan portfolio, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, John.
The loans are approved, and we have no old business, but we do have a handful of things to discuss under new business. The first is the Milwaukee County fines and forfeitures. If there's no objection, I'd like to suspend the rules so we can talk about this freely. Any objection? Great. One thing I will note is that depending on this conversation, we may have to go into closed session if we are, depending on where this conversation goes. But where we left it when we talked at our July 15th meeting is that the budget passed and included that 100% of the fines and forfeitures for state traffic laws go to Milwaukee County, particularly to their operations and hiring of district attorneys, which we talked about is a concern and questioning the constitutionality of it because it clearly states in the Constitution that 100% of fine and forfeitures within reason should be then deposited, as the court case from 1973 later talked about how the legislature can kind of define that within reason. And so kind of where we left it was asking Tom, and then knowing that we also have two commissioners who are also attorneys on this call, to think about our next steps and our options. One questioning, of course, the constitutionality, but also the potentially slippery slope that this could then establish, because if one county is able to be exempt, what stops the other 71 counties and the impact that we have as trustees and fiduciaries for the school trust funds. So with that, Tom, maybe I know you provided us the Constitution article as well as the 1973 lawsuit where the board sued the county treasurer of Kenosha as kind of the two items for us to for background materials to be prepared for this conversation. So with that, I will turn it over, Tom.
Okay.
To you.
Thanks, Sarah. What I tried to do is provide the materials in the order that you would think about how the pieces fit together. So I started off with the Constitution, and I highlighted the provisions of that article that actually come into play here, that talk about all monies and the clear proceeds of all property that may accrue to the state by forfeiture or escheat, and the clear proceeds of all fines collected in the several counties for breach of the penal laws are supposed to go into the school fund. And what happened back in the 70s is that the legislature passed a law and said, well, tell you what, it's costing the counties money to actually prosecute these cases, and we're going to give them 50% of that money. And so, in essence, the legislature was stepping in and defining what clear proceeds meant there. The Board of Commissioners of Public Lands filed suit. The Supreme Court, when the case got there, said, yep, it's appropriate for the board to be a party to this action. But the board was taking the opinion that you can't do this at all. And the Supreme Court was saying, no, the legislature's got the power to define clear proceeds. And they've got some room there, but they cannot define clear proceeds in a way that leaves merely a nominal amount going to the school fund. And what we've got in our situation here is that the legislature and the governor signed off on a budget that left nothing going to the school fund from those traffic fines and forfeitures in Milwaukee County. So last time I checked, zero was less than nominal. So that would appear to fly directly in the face of that Supreme Court opinion. So what I added then also in the materials providing to the board is I added the provisions in the budget and what they actually say. So there was another part of that Supreme Court decision as they talked about some of the previous cases that came up. And the court was laser focused on this concept of the clear proceeds and the costs of the counties in terms of doing that. And the Supreme Court clearly didn't like the idea of also giving the money away in the future for other stuff. And that's another problem with this budget provision is it's saying, well, in the future, this is going to fund these other positions. Now, the language in that Supreme Court decision is not as clear on that, but it is a bit problematic that they are also taking this money, this extra money, and dedicating it to more assistant district attorneys. So what the board had asked me to do was, okay, where do we go from here? Mm-hmm. And so it essentially falls into three categories. Trying to figure out a way to negotiate a resolution, litigation, and doing nothing. So in terms of negotiating change, the state treasurer had actually... Yes.
It's Josh. I just want to jump in quickly. To the extent that we're going to be discussing the possibility of litigation, that's something I would recuse myself from. And so I just want to make sure before you go too far into this to be clear about that.
Yes, in fact, I have no intention of actually discussing the tactics or merits of the litigation. I am just positing that that's an option at this point. So,
got it.
So, in terms of a negotiation, the state treasurer had actually suggested a possible approach that I thought has a significant amount of merit. He had suggested a budget change whereby the legislature and governor would agree to move BCPL back to program revenue, hopefully with a slight increase to address some of the issues that we had originally asked for, but then taking that GPR and providing it to Milwaukee County to fund those assistant district attorney positions. So at the end of the day, Milwaukee County would get some of the money that they were seeking. ECPL would be put on more stable footing heading into the future. And we wouldn't be dealing with such a clear constitutional violation as we are right now. Another potential negotiation is not good at all. In essence, acquiescing to a change somewhere between the 50-50 split and the 100-0 split. You know, Milwaukee County keeps 60 and 40 goes to the school fund. The fact is, I think the education stakeholders would look at this as the Secretary of State described, a step onto that slippery slope that would not be supported by them. And I doubt that Milwaukee County would be that enthusiastic about such an approach, because instead of getting 12 and a half positions, they would get roughly two. So in terms of other possibilities for negotiating, I don't know how much of an impact we would have by going to Ledge Council and pointing out that this is just unconstitutional and asking them to declare that provision of the budget, in essence, I don't know if it's voidable or unenforceable. I've never run into this situation with a budget provision and how Ledge Council acts in that scenario. But that's pretty much all we really have at this point. It's not like a normal situation when you're negotiating a dispute where you can send a cease and desist letter or something like that. The ink on the budget at this point is dry. They are, in essence, the money is being directed not to the Common School Fund. It is being directed to Milwaukee County. And so sending a cease and desist letter or something to that effect, I don't know what kind of impact it would have, but I think it would be problematic in getting any enforcement of that request.
Mm-hmm.
John, did you want to add any color to how I described your suggestion?
I mean, that's basically it. My thought was I'd rather keep the money flowing into the principal of the fund rather than affecting the income of it, which can fluctuate. So my thought was, at least this way, it stops the fund from losing more principal gains, which we can't really make up anywhere else.
So can someone just walk me through, if we want to negotiate with the legislature and the governor, pointing out that we believe there's a potential violation with the Constitution about this move, so we want in good faith to negotiate that so we do not have to have a lawsuit. And what we would like to pursue is moving the VCPL from GPR back to program revenue. That GPR funding then can go to Milwaukee County for, the amount of 2.2, give or take, million in this kind of one-time fund. So what is the process for that? Because that also seems to be a bit, because you're going to have to get the legislature to agree to this, who then have to pass both chambers.
Yes.
And then we have to get the governor to sign it.
Yes.
It's not like it's a minuscule, like, oops, this is something we've got to fix and we can just do unanimous. Like, it has to go through the legislative process, I would assume.
I would agree with that. The because the budget was done in such haste, I've heard some people talk about that there may be a trailer bill that addresses some of the things that weren't addressed in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
They went from 0 to 100 within 1 week.
Yep.
And I don't know if any of you saw that. One of the stories that came out in the newspaper is the current budget has no funding for two of the state's veterans nursing homes as of the end of September. I don't know if either the legislature or the governor intended that to be the case.
Yep.
My stomach tells me that was probably an oversight.
Yep.
They were just going too fast to address everything that was in front of them.
Yep. So,
and it appears that there may be some other things out there that were done too quickly. And if there is some kind of trailer bill addressing some of these things, that would be a logical place to add it to as well. Mm-hmm. Especially, as John pointed out, it would have, in essence, a net zero impact
mm-hmm.
on GPR spending mm-hmm. by the state.
Mm-hmm.
So, but your first question was, isn't this a big deal?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is yes. You know, you've got to have legislative leaders on board. You've got to have the governor on board. I don't know how difficult a lift that is with the legislature at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. John, who have you talked to in the legislature, and can you share with me what that process would look like from your end with Republican leaders?
So I talked with staff in the speaker's office briefly, just kind of floated the idea.
Yeah.
And from the discussion, it sounds like they'd prefer not to have a lawsuit that they have to deal with. So at least there's some willingness to see if there's some sort of solution. So if something can be resolved to everyone's satisfaction, they'd rather go down that route, it sounds like, than face a potential lawsuit. So at least there's some willingness to work on this.
So I guess just knowing these three options, I will share that I don't think option C is an option. I don't think that we can just look the other way. I think that that is failing our responsibility as trustees to the Common School Fund, especially when there is clear precedent that the board has sued when this has happened in the past and that the court has said, well, they can. The legislature does have authority to determine what proceeds means, but this is zero, which is beyond what the court has also said is not okay. So option C is not an option. I will say I prefer for us to try to negotiate and address this, one could say, maybe an inadvertent mishap in the haste of the budget process. And if we can't get anywhere, knowing that we have the ability, if we need to, for litigation. But that's, I guess, where my thinking is. And I'm curious on the other commissioners, because I think the one thing that we want to be aware of is timing is also, I think, important, because the longer we kick this down the road, the longer they are able to become comfortable with this amount, not know that this is a violation. And I think it makes us look like we are late to the game. And I think it's our responsibility to also address this in a timely manner.
Well, I'd obviously prefer to negotiate it as sort of a win-win for us and them. They get to resolve their issue and we kind of get what we want too. I would hope that we can try to get something going in September when the legislators are back and have some meetings going on then. I would in the fall session, I would hope we can get something through then. That'd be the best chance, I would think. I can keep asking around and see what they're doing about follow-up budget stuff, but it'd probably be best if we can just slip it into whatever other finance stuff they have going, because this shouldn't impact anything else really. So if it goes along with everything else, that should be okay.
And I'm just going to abstain from the discussion, since if it moves the litigation route, I would recuse myself. So that's all I've got for now.
Just a parliamentary inquiry on this. If we want to go into a conversation about negotiation, mm-hmm. Are we able to do that in more of a closed session or not?
Yeah, anytime you're talking about litigation, you can move into a closed session, and it's recommended that you do so. So we don't have a whole lot of other people on this call, but at that point, several of them would be dropping out. So,
all right. Well, I'd like to move to closed session to just further put together at least a high level plan with the commissioners on next steps.
Could I just ask a clarifying question? I think Tom may have been answering a slightly different question than you were asking, Sarah. Sarah referred to negotiation, and Tom was talking about litigation, I think.
Yes.
I'd like for us to talk about negotiation, knowing that litigation is potentially part of the stick in the negotiation, but I would like to put together a high-level plan that we are all on the same page with on how we want to go about next steps with negotiation.
So litigation strategy, you mean?
I mean, one could argue that is part of it, right?
I think the Secretary of State is actually talking about negotiating strategy, which would result in resolving a potential claim that BCPL has at this point.
Right.
So, and I must admit that I am not the expert on this particular point. And I know when you're talking about litigation and litigation strategies and litigation merits, definitely closed session. This is one of those areas where I'm not so sure. I can admit that up front. So.
Okay.
To the extent that there's going to be discussion that relates to the litigation strategy piece, I will recuse myself. So I don't know, Sarah, where you're planning ahead with that, but I just want to be clear about that up front.
Yeah, I would like for us to kind of make sure we are all on the same page with the plan. And so, John, to me, I think that's kind of two things, right? One is, John, how are we going to talk to the legislature? Who we want to talk to? What does our timeline look like? Who's going to be a part of those meetings? And then I think the other piece of that is we need to talk to the governor's office, letting them know about this, how we want to implement that piece. And then I think the third leg of this stool has to be communicating with Milwaukee County and letting them know that we are taking steps to address this, that they need to be aware of what we believe is a haste mistake in the budget process. So I guess that is what I want to talk about as somebody who is not an attorney nor an expert on open meetings laws. I'm asking for guidance on, can we talk about this right here, right now, which I believe one of the pieces is that it will be in the minutes. In addition to us just talking about it in front of a larger group of people, or is it best to make a motion to talk about this in a closed session where it is knowing that there's potential sensitivities and confidentiality behind this as well.
If the board was to take a position to ask me to take the state treasurer's suggestion and turn it into a proposal that could be carried to the legislature and to the governor, I think that's perfectly fine. My understanding that the state treasurer had generalized meetings with mm-hmm. the speaker's office, but they hadn't had anything concrete in writing, talking points. But I think it'd be relatively easy for me to put that together mm-hmm. To be able to move that along. I agree with you that it's important to talk to the gov's office mm-hmm. Because if the legislature is okay, but the gov's office is not, that doesn't get us anywhere.
Right.
Need both of them on board.
So what I'm hearing, Tom, from you is that we can ask you to put together a negotiation plan. That means we would talk about it at our next board meeting, which would be the 19th of August.
Yes. But I believe the Attorney General will not be available for that 19th meeting.
Which it seems like, Josh, that might be okay because it sounds like he might want to recuse himself from a majority of this conversation regardless.
Yeah, so I will figure out whether there's further input I need to add on recusal, but in any event, it's fine if I miss it since there's going to be – it's fine if I miss that conversation, so –
Is there any flags from a timeliness perspective if we wait until the August 19th meeting, or do we need to consider a special meeting?
I don't know that there's any flags that would require a special meeting. It's my understanding that each of the commissioners received a letter from Wisconsin Educational Media Technology Association expressing their extreme concern.
I don't believe we have.
Oh.
Because, I mean, I just met with my staff today, and they always flag, and this was not flagged in our constituent meeting today.
I received one.
You did, John? Okay. I will ask my team.
It was my understanding that they had sent one out, they've expressed a significant amount of concern that the board take it seriously and take prompt action. So.
That would have been July 25th. It was sent.
Is when it was sent, John?
If that helps.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay. So to recap, we are asking Tom to put together a negotiation plan, and we will discuss that plan on the 19th. And furthermore, we will be prepared if we need to go into closed session, know like what the parameters around that in that discussion. Great.
So the one party that we've left out of the conversation when we talked about the legislature and the governor, is actually Milwaukee County.
We said that's the third leg of the stool.
Okay.
Correct. And we asked if that is included in the plan. I guess is my point, is that we have to do all three.
Right. I mean, look, obviously the change to the budget, if it works out the way that John had suggested,
yep.
County gets the money that they were seeking. BCPL gets put on program revenue. From the legislature standpoint, it's not increasing GPR spending.
Right.
Everything looks good. And if BCPL could actually get a little bit more program revenue, BCPL's position moving forward, stable trajectory, is better at that point as well.
Right.
You may end up with seriously something that works well for everyone.
Right. No, I think it's a win, which is why let's do our best to make this happen and see what we can, if we can get it over the line.
So happy to.
Oh, I was just going to jump in. It, from my discussions, it sounds like Milwaukee County just kind of wanted the money, and where it came from wasn't such a big deal as long as they get the money they wanted. So as long as we can figure that part out. I don't think they really, you know, cared if it came from this specific source or not.
Right. And I'm sure they don't want to be a part of a lawsuit either. So.
Not too many people do.
That's
The one thing that. The one other thing that caught my eye is when I was looking at the budget provisions, it didn't seem to add up quite right. Because if you look at the appropriation for Milwaukee County, it talks about them getting $984,000 in the first fiscal year and 1.3 something million in the second fiscal year. You add that up and it's roughly 1.3 million and change. Mm. Excuse me, 2.3 million and change. But the first provision that talks about how much is actually, how much the amount going to the Common School Fund is decreasing, they're saying it's 2.2 million annually. Those numbers don't foot out.
Mm-hmm.
So the 1.3 and the 984, like I said, adds up to 2.3 something. That's within hailing distance of 2.2. So maybe they meant that it was roughly 2.2 in this biennium. But if it was, if you think about it, 2.2 for each fiscal year, yeah, that would be 4.4. Mm-hmm. That's way off from the 2.3 that they're giving away. So what? There's missing numbers there. So, and I think again.
Tom, I think it might just be Milwaukee County's been asking for money, and so they're happy just to get some extra as well in funding the position. I think that might be part of it.
Got it. Okay. All right.
All right. So I think we've got a good plan in place to talk about how we could – our next steps with this negotiation, knowing we've got to talk to the governor's office, the legislature, and Milwaukee County.
Because of this discrepancy here, though, I think we also have to talk to the Fiscal Bureau, because I need to understand what that discrepancy is, because BCPL's GPR budget right now is 1.5 million a year and change.
Mm-hmm.
And if Milwaukee County was really expecting 2.2 million a year, okay, well, that, you've got a discrepancy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know at this point. So I think we do need to talk to the Fiscal Bureau as well. So the Attorney General at the last meeting had asked me not to reach out to the Fiscal Bureau, and I did not reach out to them, but they reached out to me about some other things. So at this point, I'm asking for permission to talk to Fiscal Bureau to get a how they came up.
I don't think that that's a problem unless there's any other commissioners that see that as a problem. I think we've got to be able to understand the discrepancy financially.
Yeah, just to clarify what's going on there, yeah.
Right, and know how much is really being asked. Okay, any other questions, comments about the Milwaukee County fines and forfeiture agenda item? Moving on to then the second item under new business is the Pigeon Lake Field Station and the offer to purchase from Bayfield County, which was also in our packet. Again, if there's no objection, I'd like to suspend the rules and Turn it over to you. I know we've been talking about Pigeon Lake for quite some time. It's something that we know is a treasured piece of public lands up north. And so looks like the good news is that we've got an offer, but maybe we can talk more about this.
So you are absolutely right. We have been talking about this for a very long time. In fact, BCPL had this appraised 10 years ago. It's an unusual situation. We got the property in an exchange with the Forest Service. And all those years ago when the Forest Service got it, they actually had a lease on the property with the UW. And the UW was responsible for maintaining the buildings on the property. And they actually built some buildings on the property. And so the lease between the UW and the Forest Service was such that the UW was granted ownership of the buildings. And so we get this property in an exchange with the Forest Service. I get here and I'm like, what is this? And the UW subsequently decides we don't need this for our campus anymore. And so there is a desire to divest this property. There is a strong interest by local folks and with people that have come through that camp over the years to keep it in the public domain. Mm-hmm. But running a public park is not the mission of BCPL. Our job is to make money for our beneficiaries. And so, Bayfield County has expressed interest over the years, sometimes stronger, sometimes weaker, but they put out a request for proposals, and they got one from someone that talked about redeveloping the property, but redeveloping it in a way that would keep it as a community learning center, but also add some housing to the property. So something that would definitely be in the interest of people up there. However, they want to acquire possession of the property at a price that may be less than its value. When the property was appraised back in 2015, the total appraisal came in slightly higher than $1.3 million, with roughly $500,000 in land value and roughly $800,000 in improvement value. As the property has sat vacant for all this time, there's a decent chance that the improvement value has gone down. And in the letter from Bayfield County, they note that to a significant extent that they think the value of the improvements have gone down. However, the value of lakefront property generally tends to rise over time. So the $750,000 against the original appraisal, BCPL, if we were allowed to keep all of the appraised value for our land, we would be made whole. The UW would take a significant haircut over what was appraised of their improvements. At this point in time, with an appraisal that's 10 years old, it may be more prudent to just have it reappraised.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense to, if it hasn't been appraised in 10 years, because I think to your point, we know that lakefront property in Bayfield County has only increased, but yes, there's properties that have gone vacant for 10 years. I thought it was also interesting in this letter that it seems that it's now in a floodplain, which curious on how that might also impact the assessed value of the property.
So some parts of it are in a floodplain. It is a really long piece of property with a lot of lakefront.
Yep.
And so if you walk the property, you realize that the middle of the property is high with vantage points of overlooking the lake. But on each end, the property slopes down toward the water. And on each end, those ends are in the floodplain.
Yep.
The south side of the lake, most of the properties on the south side have suffered significant water damage over the years because of the changes in water levels in the lake. So the north side, which we own a significant part of, it becomes a more attractive part of that lake because of the high ground in the middle there. So,
any questions from the commissioners? I think from my perspective, doing an assessment, since we haven't done one in 10 years, would allow us to, as Mark talks about in his letter, negotiate in good faith, knowing what we've got. But I think the other exciting thing is we've got a buyer, and I think that it's also a buyer that goes back to the mission of BCPL in a good way. So let's trying to figure this out, I think, sooner rather than later is a good thing. But knowing that in order for us to negotiate in good faith, we got to know what the property value is today. Any other thoughts from the commissioners about having the property reevaluated and then figuring out if we can come to a good faith negotiation with Bayfield County?
So I'm assuming there haven't been any other interested buyers in this.
In the 10 years that since the property was appraised, I have gotten, I believe, 3 calls of people that had expressed mild interest, is about the best way to put it.
And it's not currently making any money either?
No. Yeah. And John, it's an excellent question. Part of that issue also comes from the fact that there is a statute that impacts the sale of our normal school lands. Starting in 1909, 1911, the legislature enacted a statute that required us to reserve mineral rights and water power rights and access rights on land. Now, when they enacted that statute, the first question was, is this really constitutional? And the AG had opined that, well, with respect to common school lands, no, because those lands came directly from the federal government to BCPL. But normal school lands took a more circuitous route, and as a result, the legislature does have the power to place restrictions on those, and these are normal school lands. But if you can imagine, if you are a person who wants this property for a kingdom lot, do you really want to allow the public to come across your property to access the lake? And in most cases, that answer is not really, which is why the level of interest from private persons or private developers has been tepid. It's because of that statute, 24.11 sub 3.
Any other questions for Tom about this?
I will get an appraisal as soon as possible. I believe Bill Steigerwald is available, who had done the original one. Bill does great work. I've already talked with Mark AA about that. He's familiar with Bill's work. He's comfortable with it as well.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Tom. That is it for new business. So now moving into routine business. And Rich, the Chief Investment Officer's report.
I have nothing today, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Great. Tom, the Executive Secretary's report.
I'll try to be less wordy. We're starting to work on our biennial report. And one of the things I was curious about is whether the board would be interested in having one of its upcoming board meetings in our office, so we can actually take a picture of the board together for the report. I know most of the time our meetings are telephonic, and this would require a little bit more work in terms of scheduling, But I thought it'd be a nice touch for that biennial report. But totally the board's discretion on that.
Any objections to doing an upcoming board meeting in person?
No, I think it'd be fun.
I think it would be good to do one in person also. The scheduling is the only issue, but we can figure that out.
Great. Let's try to. I think it would be nice to do an in-person meeting.
Excellent. Following up on my report June 17th that, yes, I still plan on retiring at the end of the year. So at the end of the calendar year, first week of January, I've talked to the board chair about developing the plan for recruitment, hiring, and onboarding. So we've got some work to do there, but we're starting to put the pieces into place there. So thank you for your support again for all these years. I really appreciated the opportunity. So we are going to be closing that real estate transaction that I talked about several meetings ago. So I'm going to need some signatures. Sarah, are you going to be available this week yet? Great. John, are you in town?
Should be most days. Are we thinking tomorrow or Thursday?
Tomorrow or Thursday, most likely Thursday, because tomorrow looks already a little bit packed. But right. I can flex to whatever time you need, John. Let's put it that way.
Thursday morning should be good.
Okay. Cool.
Will you send that to our offices, Tom, or how does that work?
So I've generally actually hand carried it so that I can actually notarize it.
And he only needs two signatures, Josh, so I think we're okay.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
If you're available and would like to sign it, I'd love to have you sign it, but I know that your schedule is difficult, so.
No, I don't need to, although if it helps John out because he's out of town or something, we can make something work too.
Awesome.
I mean, I can just come down to your office, Tom, on Thursday morning and sign it right there for you.
I'll try to have coffee waiting.
You have okay. Commissioners ready to go, Tom. I'm here to serve.
Next week, I was planning on heading north for some meetings. I was planning on going up and talking to the folks at UW-Stevens Point for a bit. For this transaction that we're closing, in order to make things work better here, I was planning on using the money from the real estate specialist to help at least partially fund the deputy position. And so that in essence, I'd have to cobble together some of the goods and services money to help fund that the deputy position, and we would go without a real estate specialist. We're going to go without a real estate specialist for a while. We need to, in essence, adjust how we do things. And one of the things I was going to do was stop in to talk to a title company up in Medford. Gowie Title has offices all over northern Wisconsin, and they would be a logical choice to take on some of the burden of the administrative work with respect to the real estate stuff. So planning on going up to our Lake Tom office for some discussions. There is a...
yes? Tom, I have a question. Is that something we need to bid out, do we know?
In terms of what we're doing at any given point in time, the answer is maybe. You know, it all depends on how big of a cost you're talking about. If we're looking at something that's $500 or less, the answer is generally no. Mm-hmm. The procurement guidelines really start kicking in at the $2,500 mark. And at that point, you really should be using the simplified bid form. And once you get to $25,000, you enter into a whole new world of procurement. But in terms of having a go-to entity that you're using for, you know, researching title in various places around the state. In most cases, you don't have many choices to begin with. So, does that make sense?
Conceptually, yeah. I don't know if DOA.
But I always tend to check what the DOA contracts are on VendorNet. And there are times that they're useful. You know, Rich and I can attest that we save lots of money using Speedy Delivery over the years. On the state contracts in terms of VendorNet, it rarely has the specialized services that we're looking for, whether it be title insurance or surveys or anything like that. Those type of specialized professional services tend not to be on there. But again, it depends on how big of a contract you're looking at. So.
I think, Tom, I mean, we've been trying to get a deputy for a long time, and I think we clearly, the agency would benefit from a deputy, I think.
Yes. And we may have a good candidate.
Right. Which would be great. I think my only we just have to make sure that budgetarily we are set up for success.
Yes.
Knowing that we are not being funded for this role and we're kind of putting together the puzzle pieces accordingly. And that whoever takes your role is going to be taking on the rest of the budget until the end of the biennium. So I think that's like the only piece of it.
Yep.
So we can make sure we're set up for success that way. But yes, I think the organization would benefit from a deputy.
But like I said, I was going to be meeting with Lake Tom staff. We are looking at the possibility of conservation credits again. When we had originally started looking at some of those issues, the fact is, we had two big problems. One of them was the entity that we started working with really wanted to keep all things confidential. Mm-hmm. And when I explained to them that who our board was and how the Attorney General was responsible for enforcing the open records and open meetings law, that their insistence on confidentiality seemed to run counter to the interests of one of my board members, that this isn't going to work.
All right.
The other part of it was that our ability to be flexible, to be able to sell certain parcels and add certain parcels, was very compromised years ago. But we found another potential partner that may be much easier to work with. So anyway, it's something that we're looking into. That's all I have for today.
Well, thanks, Tom. My board chair report, just a few things. I think the first is we know we're going to have big shoes to fill with Tom leaving. Okay, great. Good to know. And how many years were you with the BCPL? So that's a little less than 12 times 2, or a little more. But point is that we're going to have some big shoes to fill, knowing that what date we've tentatively set our maybe as Tom's wife, Karen, wants to make sure set in stone, is January 2nd is his final day. I've asked, there's a few things that I'm working on my end. I've asked Tom to put together a position description, and we will have that sometime, probably not the next meeting, but the meeting following, and so we can look through that. If there's any questions or feedback from the commissioners. And then I'm meeting with our HR point of contact and establishing the process to how we want to interview this individual and make sure that we are reaching out to a large group of folks. I will say that this is unique because this is an appointment by the board. So it is not in the civil service, technically, because it is an appointment. So we do have a lot more flexibility as far as how we are thinking about hiring. But unless there's any objections from either of the commissioners, I'd like to make this, of course, as transparent but also thoughtful process as possible to ensure we have the best candidates that are applying and that we're also interviewing and hopefully appointing. But I think ideally we'd like to have somebody by the end of the year, so there could be some overlap with Tom in job shadowing and sharing and all of that. But I plan to come back, if not at the next meeting, the meeting following, with a bit more of a process update on how we can implement this.
Seeing as how Josh isn't going to be at the next meeting, should we just make it the September one?
Yeah. We won't be ready by the next one anyway, John. So, yeah, I was saying the September meeting.
that plan all sounds great to me, Sarah. The only minor caveat is I don't know that they can overlap because of the way the hiring process works. I think there's – so we'll just have to figure that out. But.
Yeah, and I think there's ways that we can also be creative – in doing it, Josh. So to your point, the appointment might not be officially until the 3rd, but there's ways that I think we can think through this strategically to do that.
HR can actually create a surplus position for a short period.
Yeah.
The bigger issue is funding that surplus position.
Yeah.
Right.
But point noted. Thanks, Josh. Any other flags or thoughts about the executive secretary process? And then the just last item I have is Tom and I will be meeting with the UW staff in a little over a week about the normal school fund. We want to talk to them about the distribution because as you all know, we continue to see an increase in distribution. However, it's not clear where that money goes, that scholarship recipients even know that they are beneficiaries of this fund. And so we want to have a conversation with them to establish just some general understanding kind of principles with how we want to make sure there is transparency and accountability between the funds that we are providing the university and they are communicating back to us. So we will share the results of that meeting. I believe it's on sometime early next week, but that is something that we are hoping to change for the better, knowing that, again, we will only see an increase of funds and we want there to be transparency and accountability and working with the university on that. Any question on the normal school fund? All right, well, that's all I have. Are there any other future agenda items for an upcoming board meeting?
I think we have enough on our plate, don't we?
No, John, I was going to say. Just want to make sure I'm asking. I move to adjourn. Is there a second?
I'll second.
I second. Oh, John. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, John. We appreciate the vote of confidence, Josh, for adjourning the meeting. And all those in favor of adjourning, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, John.
The meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody, and have a good rest of your week.
See you guys.